Hello, grandkids, and welcome to hopefully an action-packed Stunt Granny Audio 359. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. Sir, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good today, Kevin. How about yourself?
It has been a day. I have gotten a couple of quite amusing emails from one of the people in the condo association that has brought me great joy while also, possibly defamating my character.
That's what happens when you don't keep those shrubs above the roof, my friend. Or below the roof, I should say.
Yeah, so that was fun. Work is fun. And, for the most part, Raw has been fun.
It indeed has. And with these ratings that just came in, it feels like we're part of a more and more exclusive group every week.
Have we hit the, because I did see that, was it two? Oh, it was just over two last week. So what is it at this week?
It is, well, they're only counting viewers right now. It's 3.09 million viewers.
Oh.
Which means it took a dive from last week.
Yeah, it drives me bananas that ratings and viewers aren't directly correlated. It seems silly. It's one of those things where I'm kind of, like, for a long time, I felt like there was a push on the Nets that the thing to do was to push new stars. That'd get the ratings. Now, I'm not going to say that they've got a super sustained time doing that. But at the same time, this has kind of been a pretty consistent thing since WrestleMania, at least. And probably even just prior to that, when they started calling some people up from NXT. They've definitely put a fresh face on the company. I mean, it helped that people were injured, if you want to use that term. Certain other people were, unbeknownst to most of us, getting geared up to fight in the UFC. Some new stars are out there, and I mean, it's not... You know, at least that part of the equation isn't, it isn't part of the solution, it seems like. Because, if the internet does not love Roman Reigns, well, we've had, two straight weeks of no, Roman Reigns was on last week, but, his character has certainly been besmirched.
Indeed, it has been besmirched.
Much like mine, but not quite as publicly as Roman Reigns, maybe.
Right, and oh my goodness. We'll look into that in a little bit. They've brought in a lot of new, but still there's nothing that people have just completely gravitated around, and they haven't completely found the right character, the right guy, or the right storyline, or that's what creates boom periods, or creates rises in viewership, and then all other key performance indicators. Things have been better. It's good to see some new faces. Of course, you have so many new faces for the casual viewer to keep up with. It's a 3-hour show. There's, but this was an interesting rating in the fact that it just with no major television major sports competition. The show started pretty weak. Rose right. in the second hour, which you can pretty much attribute that to John Cena wrestling, and then dropped again in the third hour.
And again, to go back to the new stars, I mean, not that I don't think that AJ Styles is producing in the ring and on the mic, but, you know, he's not doing it for the ratings. You know, he's not that draw at the 11 o'clock time slot.
Yeah, no, and that did, you know what, but that one did have the disadvantage of, look, at this point, you're down to the people who've been, when you're getting down to the ratings that WWE is at, you're down to the hardcores. You're really down to people who watched wrestling a long time. And they know all the tricks. They know the booking tricks. When Cena lost, you knew AJ Styles was also going to lose.
Well, that actually about killed me on the one message board. That somehow people did not see that coming. I was like,
really?
Yeah, in the Raw shoot thread. Like, I'm like, really? You did, like, it was a package deal. If the first person got in, the second person was getting in.
Right.
And then when shenanigans were immediately involved in the first one, which was the Cena match, if you've watched wrestling for more than like 3 years, you know what's coming next.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. So I think that definitely, I think that definitely hurt the Ambrose AJ Styles match. But once again, you know, Dean Ambrose, you know, he got the huge reaction after he won. There was the curiosity the day after. Dean Ambrose has not been booked like a superstar this year before last Sunday.
Oh, yeah, that is certainly something, because it was funny, like, he did a good job of pointing out, he's like, I said this the whole time. Like, why was no one listening to me? And you just didn't, you know, it's one of those moments where I guess I didn't think it was going to happen. You know, I expected probably Owens more so than him to win. So, you know, it was a little bit of a surprise to see him win, and then to see him actually cash in was a little surprising, because, honestly, I guess I expected a Reigns retention, too.
Well, apparently before last Friday, that's what WWE was predicting as well, but things happen, and, you know, Dean Ambrose has gotten the championship. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens from here on out, how they react to the ratings, how they react to everything, all the numbers that they see between now and Battleground. I'd like to see Ambrose get a run, especially if it's going to be one of two championships that are going to be in effect by the end of July, or by SummerSlam if they decide to have one decided in the tournament, however they're going to determine the other championship the other brand gets the current which they have begun to change the only referring to it as the WWE Championship and not the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, that was a big point that I did miss during the show itself. Although I'm quite sure that kind of looking, as soon as it was mentioned, I was like, oh, like, you know, it's one of those things where I remembered it being mentioned a couple of times after the fact. Yeah, I mean, Ambrose should stay champ. I don't, you know, it's still one of those things that I don't know what they can do to really grow their audience. Like, because there was part of an argument that I had with Jeremy that never really surfaced, but it was talking about the ratings. And I mean, everything in general, like, I think it was when Vince Russo was talking about ratings too. I started doing some research on it, and everything on TV has lower ratings now than it did when Raw was at its high point. And because the highest show, regular show, was in the 16s, because I think it was ER, and I wasn't counting like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire that was dragging in even bigger ratings. And now the top show is Big Bang Theory, and it's only pulling in 8.8.
Yeah, there wasn't a competition. There was.
You know,
the competition than that there is now. It's so many channels that people are watching it at a specific time. But yeah,
and yeah. I think that they can recapture people, but I'm still, I guess I'm at least of the mindset that I don't think they can ever get back to that 8.0 rating.
That's the thing is that. Even when things were at their worst 20 years ago, those people were watching another wrestling show. The wrestling audience was still, you know, in the fives, sixes, you know, even then, because for the two shows, yeah, the WCW audience just never drifted over to WWE, and now WWE has been gradually losing their own audience. Really, since 2001, and maybe it stabilized for a little while in the late 2000s, early 2010s here. But in the last 2 years, you know, it's definitely been there's been some major losses, and 2016 has just been a terrible year. I mean, it's chickens coming home to roost, but it's three hours. That is probably the biggest culprit. But
yeah, it's not going to change.
Anyone who knows that third hour is pretty much what in 2015 kept WWE out of the red. The value of that third hour is actually what's keeping making WWE, you know, still profitable in the last year. So that's not going away anytime soon. I mean, it's eroding your audience, but at the same time, in the business world of let's make the money now, which is always going to be the which is always going to be, you know, when you're dealing with Wall Street and just business in general, that's always going to be the rule of the day. Is you know it's going to be a net now first attitude. So.
Yeah. I guess, you know, yeah, I know that they want more, but I'm just wondering what they can offer. Like, now that they're offering the new, like, what can they do to drag that audience back in?
That's going to take
and
word of mouth that these shows are really good, and there's some cool characters developing and stories developing. It took a year back in. Of course, we're talking about, you know, the ridiculous jump that they made between 97, 98, and, you know, into 99. And I don't know if that's happening, as you mentioned, but. To get the ratings back to the difference in the ratings and viewership. To get let's just say the viewership back to 3.5 consistently. Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah,
maybe even four if they have a consistently good product and there's good word of mouth over know, the stories and a character really connecting, and maybe, just maybe, the next Stone Cold Steve Austin is somewhere in NXT, or maybe not even in NXT, somewhere around the Indies, or he's an NFL team right now, or what have you. And there will be a you know, because there's no formula to creating a movie. It just kind of, all the pieces come to place, and then you have to, you recognize what those pieces are, and promote the hell out of the product, out of the product you have. WWE has shown you to struggle with things, and again, it's Vince McMahon has gotten older. He has gotten more and more stuck in his ways. I mean, they actually tried to use Roman Reigns' suspension as a way to garner sympathy for him. They designed that opening segment last night for people to boo Seth Rollins and cheer Roman Reigns while Roman Reigns is suspended for 30 days. It didn't work.
No. That is certainly... Oh my god, I must have looked away last week when I saw the final spot in the Hardys match. I did not realize how badly Jeff Hardy missed that table.
Oh yeah, that looked really awful.
Because I saw him walking up to the top of the ladder. I'm like, whatever, I know what is happening here. And I was just typing the review of the show. So I missed how awful that was until the replay.
Oh, it was one of the worst things I've ever seen. I have no idea, you know, the thought process behind that.
Okay. Well, where were we? Oh, yeah, Roman Reigns, them trying to get sympathy for him with this suspension. And, you know, it's back to, there's definitely his fans, because there's always at least some level of positive reaction for him. But then there's a large amount of booing. And yeah, it really wasn't the best way to go with the suspension. Like, it obviously needed addressed. Yeah, their plan didn't really work out.
Yeah, I guess it shows that they're not going to give up on Roman Reigns as the base of the company. As in the current role that they have him slotted in, with everything that they want him to do, everything they want him to say, he's just going to come back. He might just go right back to being champ again, at least of one of the two brands. It's going to be to the detriment of that show. It really will be. It's just the proof. You know, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe that they'll scale back on Roman, you know, after this pay per view, and then try to ramp him back up, or finally do the heel turn. But it seems to me like they are bound and determined to run with this guy as their top babyface, and they're not going to be told wrong. And they're even going to fly in the face of all the numbers. Now, granted, this number has, I guess maybe even if you want to, you could read into the ratings dropping this week that it's because Roman wasn't on the show that ratings dropped. But
yeah, again, like it would be hard to do that if you have been watching the show. Or if you've been watching the ratings, I should say.
Right.
Because yeah. It's been a definite a trend downwards. And maybe it wasn't big chunks, but it's still going down.
Yeah, it's going down.
And I think I do agree. You mentioned it a while ago. I think their average ceiling that they should be looking for is like a 3.5.
We're talking about now the millions of viewers. I don't want to get into
I'm just going strictly on ratings. Like, I don't know how many viewers that is. It's easier to keep track of just the ratings, on in my opinion. So, I mean, I know you gave the number about how many watched, but I think I remember Wade Keller mentioning that it was 2.05 last week. I remember seeing a tweet about that. So if there are less viewers, less people, the rating's going to be lower. So it'll be a 2 or maybe even slightly below. I don't know. Again, like that weird ratio thing. I'll let somebody else do the math on that one. But yeah, it's just, it's not good.
No, it's not good. And next week's going to be a bloodbath. And then by September, Monday Night Football's there every week. And the World Series is going to be start kicking into gear. Unless this brand split, really, really lights a spark under on the Raw brand, and there really is, two different writing groups of stars, two different announced crews, and that wire is lit underneath all of them to really compete with each other and put on, great shows and, tinker with the format a little bit and try to, even make cosmetic changes to the set or what have you.
I mean, it really does. It's kind of interesting because it will kind of, I don't know if it'll hinge on that, but, that's kind of the starting point. Like, and I guess that's something that I've kind of consistently brought up. And I know even really Stephanie, they've kind of gone to this mode with the GMs here on Raw. It's one person one week and the other person the next week for whatever reason.
Yeah, that's right. And I know Stephanie was in France last week representing the company, and I guess Shane has his own, still has his own life and his own, businesses that he's running, and so he's not on every Raw. It'll still be interesting to see how the authority figure situation shakes out as far as Raw and SmackDown is concerned. They haven't to make any concrete decision on in that regard.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I hope that there's a real break, when the brand split does happen. And I mean, and that is, like, if they don't follow through on something like that, or they do just have the same writing committee, it's not gonna work. Like, I just think you need, because kind of like NXT, at least I believe the theory is that, Vince really literally just said to Triple H, do whatever you want.
Right,
and
yeah.
I think you can tell by watching that show that there's definitely a different, there's at least a change in a lot of respects to the philosophy of the booking.
Yeah, it's definitely more an old school feel, and kind of the way that the hour long shows were in the past. The problem is, it's so formulaic.
Yellow hurts more. No, it's not Jen.
Who is it then?
I don't know. Yeah, roommate or sister? I don't know. Maybe they rented it out. I'm not sure.
Even though it's a small car, she's still
putting
it back in.
Yes.
Did she say okay?
She said she didn't see the arrows.
How do you miss the arrows? They're right there. It's like right in front of her fucking car. It's an arrow that says a turn on it. It's right in front of her car. How do you not see that? She's pointed right at it. When she walked to her car, she's right in front of the arrow. How do you not see that arrow? It's not like it's black and it blends in with the concrete. It's yellow. I'm so tired of people with shit for brains. It's right in front of her car.
I know.
Like, how do you not? You walk out of her gate that's always open, and it's right there.
I know. Oh, it's always fun in the Casa de DeFrango around here. So, have we gotten to another aspect of the split brands and NXT definitely being a different philosophy? They need that for SmackDown, too. Like, I'd be fine with Raw staying the way it is. Okay. Leave Raw the way that it is if you want to. Like, if that's Vince's show, let it be Vince's show. And let SmackDown be... I don't care. Like, the on-screen character doesn't necessarily need to be the person running the show behind the scenes also. Like, they... but it would be nice if they had, just another philosophy in there doing some work. Like, I just think that they really need that, or else this isn't going to work, and their ratings, honestly, aren't going to recover until something like that happens.
Right, yeah absolutely, SmackDown, at the very least, you're right. SmackDown has to be different. It has to have a different feel to it. You have to have a show that... The problem with Raw is, and maybe with SmackDown a little bit now, is it feels so compartmentalized. People go out for their segments, the segment ends, and then they're never seen again. They may not be seen again for the rest of the episode. Nothing flows on the show. Everything is given. It's time, and then we move on. So, I'd like to see let's go fully back to the Attitude Era or anything like that. And because that's where that this idea that you hit at the top of every hour, you have to have a major second. You have to have a major second starting at the top of every hour. So that means one of the biggest problems with Raw actually is from 9:15 to about 10 o'clock, and from 10:15 to about maybe 10:45 or so, you can absolutely skip that show. You know nothing is going to happen in those time periods. Nothing of any consequence. That's stuff that gets cut out of the Hulu. Let's move some things around, or use SmackDown as the guinea pig for this. Don't worry about hitting those time periods. The old idea that someone's flicking through the channels at they're done watching a show at they're showing that's over at 9:59 and they're gonna start flipping around the channels. Mm-hmm. And they might stumble across an old face they know or see a hot angle. I don't think that edit is prevalent now, especially since you have the TV guide right there on your... Are there still channel surfers? Yeah, every once in a while I'll channel surf, but I'm more so a TV guide scan. I think most people might be today.
Guess I hadn't thought about that aspect of things either. Like, I have my shows set to record, Like, I mean, I just hate commercials, period, end of sentence. Because I think I've mentioned that that's why I do Raw the way that I do it when I do my review. Is I don't want to tolerate the commercials. And, like, even shows that I feel like I need to watch as soon as they air, basically, I tend to wait till they end so that I don't need to watch commercials. Or if you really desperately need to watch, you wait until the 20-minute mark and then you go headlong, because then you can definitely blow through all the commercials, maybe have to tolerate one or two at most.
Yeah, but that's DVR viewership. That's really not. That kind of gets thrown into the equation later. Right? Talking about the live viewership of the show. What I would do is absolutely just put major matches on at the weird the quote unquote weird times. Make people not want to miss the show. Not realize okay. I feel like they, as long as they tune in at four key points of the show, at 8, 9, 10, and before just before 11, that's all they need.
Yeah.
Let them turn in at 10 o'clock and have already missed the big segment of the show or the big match. And then the next week, put the big match in the 10 o'clock, in the 10 o'clock hour. That way, the whole show is can't miss because you never know when they're going to put a big match, when they're going to put a big end.
Yeah, I mean, something like that could be used, and I mean, I hope that it is. On you know, again, whichever brand, like, I guess I'm assuming that Vince would not cede control of Raw at this time. You know, so I feel like that's going to be his brand, so it's going to be kind of stuck. But again, I guess I did feel like when they did the brand split the first time that there were some differences on SmackDown.
Oh yeah, they absolutely were. It's you know that was you know Paul Heyman's show. Well, I mean the idea was that Raw would be more the entertainment show, and SmackDown would be the wrestling show. And you know they have the SmackDown Six having great matches with each other every week. Brock Lesnar was the dominant champion. Yeah, there was definitely a very different show, and for a time it was certainly doing better than Raw in every category.
You know, I guess to kind of get back to the ratings since you mentioned them, is that, yeah, it's going to require something, you know, some type of shakeup that big for them to do something. Like, just new stars isn't doing the trick.
Right. And it is, I mean, this is all about, you know, bringing up SmackDown. So yeah, SmackDown definitely has to be a very different show. It has to feel important. They can't have any of the big stars. It has to have its share of stars. It really needs to feel. You know, USA is it's not like they're getting more money from USA to make this move for SmackDown to be live every week. For the cost of $100,000, $200,000, or however much you know, more it's costing them to go live every week, USA already feels like they're paying WWE enough, and they're not seeing enough return. So WWE now has to take a bunch of money, basically a lot of that money that made up their annual profit at least in 2015, and put that earmark that towards SmackDown, towards. At least eight more pay-per-views a year, and towards all the new talent that they want to sign, so that they can essentially build three touring brands.
And I, I mean, if that's what they're really doing, again, that could be the solution. Maybe you get, again, to go back to the philosophy thing, you know, if you get one guy, you know, maybe people like the way that SmackDown's being handled. I don't know. I mean, I guess, and I feel like maybe I brought this up before, but it'd be interesting to know if everyone's an NXT person. You know, I do think that it would get a wider audience if it was on, you know, even cable television. I'm not sure what kind of ratings it would do. But, I mean, it certainly is an alternative. I'm not sure that comparing its numbers that are on the WWE Network are fair to it, you know, up against Raw and or SmackDown.
I don't know if I would use NXT for the WWE Network, because it's pretty much the most watched weekly thing on the network. It's part of a package people spend money on. And as long as they can get to the numbers to a place where USA is happy, and then they can get a great percentage of the fan base, you know, paying for the company. I mean, we haven't seen, I believe it's sometime next month we'll see the numbers. We'll see the new network film and where it's at. It's at 1.8 million after WrestleMania, and for no speculation of where it's at now. I mean, that's a huge part of it. Because if they could maintain that 1.8, or at least even only drop down to 1.5, you know, month-to-month average, then they're doing pretty well. If it's at 1.8, then they're probably doing really well. As far as the network model, and then, you know, again, I mean, the network price point does allow it a more, you know, attractive to entry for a paying viewer than a $60 pay. So, you know, if, you know, even if they never see freaking 8.0s again in their lifetime, 3.5 to 4.0s, you can with a high percentage of that audience being converted to paying customers, you're still doing great.
I am enamored with DJZ's entrance.
I turned it off. I didn't want to be spoiled about Matt Hardy's promo.
Oh, yeah, I'm not taping this. It's just on is my casual thing to view while recording the show. In no way is this going to be a show that I bother actually listening to.
Right.
Except for before and after this this very recording. But, yeah, I just really like the look there. Unlike the Mike Bennett look, I am definitely for, oh my gosh, the Pope just being ultra creepy was outstanding. Yeah, the entrance for Zima, DJ Z there was pretty fantastic. As I did note earlier, too, when we were off air, that the shirt that Drew Galloway has, pretty cool looking. I've got to admit, I wouldn't buy it just because it's for Drew Galloway, because right. Fuck that. But nonetheless, I did like the design. I guess we can use that to kind of at least move on to one of the other things I wanted. Was there anything else on Raw that was really worth kind of going through? Because, I mean, I think we kind of wrapped up the Authority in there. Was, you know, we wrapped up kind of the main event picture. Because, I mean, it didn't really go anywhere this week.
Yeah, they filled 3 hours of television with the tease of a swerve, and then didn't deliver on a swerve, and everything's back to the to where it was. Or if it stays the way it was.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I enjoyed Raw, but it's getting to be pretty clear that they have a bigger problem than the Frango audience.
Right.
I have enjoyed doing the Stunt Granny Twitter reviews of podcasts. I feel like any of our fellow crewmates could do this if they so chose. But
we're not stepping on your toes here. This is your gimmick now.
I have too many gimmicks. You know, I listened to, it came out on Friday, Chris Jericho's interview of Sandra Toffolini. I might be saying the name wrong, but it was Chris Benoit's wife. It was her younger sister. There were parts of it that were just kind of interesting because they did a good job of just kind of filling in who she was and, you know, I guess it was pretty interesting to hear someone talk who was really in on the wrestling business, but not in on the wrestling business. Like, it was a pretty unique perspective that she had. I mean, you could clearly tell that she did know, like, an extremely, really, a who's who list of wrestling icons, honestly.
She had a very, very interesting story. It was an interesting story even before they got into the main crux of the show. She was a child going through all of this, and her older sister getting into this crazy world, and yeah, it was very interesting in that regard.
Well, and even I guess I hadn't thought about it much. I believe. I don't know if I mentioned it, but I was always amused by Jeremy Tech, because, it was 9 years ago that this had happened, I believe, was one of the other reasons that Jericho recorded it then, or put it out that day.
Yeah.
So I always remember the day that it happened. Like, I guess I wouldn't have remembered the date. But I was on a family vacation, and Jeremy texts me, and he goes, "Hey, Kevin, Chris Benoit died." And I mean, I'm on this family vacation in Disney World. Kind of hard to be a little too gloomy there.
Yeah, right.
So I didn't really answer him. And he sends another text later, and he goes, "I'm not joking." I'm just like, dude, like, who would joke about Chris Benoit being dead? And, I got home in time for the tribute show. And then clearly he was wiped off the mat, or wiped off of the record books the following day after the tribute.
They didn't really cover it in the interview, so we won't go in there. That, you know, who knew what when before that tribute show went on the air has always been a big question.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess there are some details that maybe just because I wasn't around immediately when that had happened. But I mean, I don't really remember the details as well as she told them, or at least there were some things that, oh, that his son had some type of development disorder. I remember that story being out there, but I guess I didn't remember it being refuted at some juncture.
The refuting of this of the salacious stories that always goes on, that always goes on the back end, of course. but I remember hearing that was refuted pretty quickly.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I mean, in just her timeline of when the murders occurred was just one of those things that you don't ever unlisten to something like that. I try to search out gruesome material and watch it kind of a guy. Like Faces of Death that went back in the 80s. I believe was a popular video. I did not ever search that out. I suppose I'm okay with the cartoon violence that is portrayed in movies, but any real violence, I don't have a need to seek that out. And I guess I do watch real cop shows sometimes. And to have her put that timeline together, like how long he had been there and how long everyone had been dead, was one of those things that I either forgot, or again, like maybe I never really heard the accurate timeline on either. Like I can't remember what the case is for me, but either way, that's just a... Yeah, that's just rough. Like, I mean,
but he was by everything that's been said about it, everything that's out there, he was considering making his date basically to go to that pay per view and wrestle that. Yeah, he was, but before he decided to kill himself, he was gonna go and wrestle, I believe, CM Punk, I believe, for the ECW Championship, and leave those bodies there. That's where his head was at until he changed his mind. I mean, this was a really, really sick thing. It defies all logic, you know. And I have the utmost respect for Nancy Capone, or you know, for her perspective on it after all these years.
Because and you could really tell, you could really tell her affection for Chris Benoit still.
Yeah, you can see. It's the people who are close to them can make that detachment and talk about the murders as if they were committed by a different person. And again, I didn't know him. I wasn't close to the situation, so I'm not going to stand in judgment. I'll never stand in judgment on how anyone handles grief. When the murder victim's family can stand up in court and tell the murderer, "I forgive you," I can never understand it myself. But you know. I guess that makes him a better person than me, because she really does talk about the good times,
right?
Yeah, it painted the whole picture better than anything I've seen, and having 9 years of perspective to reflect, I think really really helped. Definitely. I mean, back then, I became immersed in the story. Back before Meltzer, merged with Brian Alvarez and took his entire operation online, I bought the paper newsletters. The complete coverage of the Benoit murder suicide for 6 straight weeks. I mean, Meltzer talks about that 6-week period is like a blur to him. It's just, he can't remember a lot of it, because all he was doing during that time period was writing and then appearing on either various internet and, local and national radio and television shows. That was his life for 6 weeks.
Right. That's just a huge story. I mean, there's no real getting around that.
No, it's still the biggest story that's ever happened in wrestling.
Yeah, and I mean, Jericho even really touched on it, like how much it changed the industry. And I mean, he even mentioned that they got in trouble a week and a half ago at Money in the Bank. Because of the one ladder spot that they did was something.
Was the one where someone just had a ladder? Just heaved right at their head.
Yeah,
like
I think something of that nature happened.
Yeah,
and they got in trouble for it. I mean, that is definitely something that. It's obviously for the better.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have not seen the rate of young death. I mean, you could argue that China was inevitable. But, since then, the rate of young death has reached a halt. I mean, last year we lost Dusty, we lost Roddy Piper. They were at least in their 60s.
Yeah, that was one of those things, too, that during that show, I had completely forgotten about how many people at that time had died. Like, within the short time period before this happened.
It was an awful, cycle. It was brutal.
Because I do remember listening to Opie and Anthony back then. And they had a quote-unquote clock for how often the wrestlers were dying at that point. Like, I mean, it turned into that kind of a morbid thing. Like, and it was just like, how did you argue with that? Like, that's the way it was happening. And I mean, again, like, 9 years, I guess, makes me forget some of these details.
Yeah.
That were occurring.
I mean, that period between Eddie Guerrero dying and Chris, and everything of the Benoit murder suicides and the aftermath, that was a depressing time to be a wrestler. I guess nothing will chase people like us away from watching wrestling. other than maybe we just move on with our lives, in that respect. But as far as like the product itself, just getting really just the whole atmosphere around it, the product itself is getting really, really dark. Just feeling of doom and gloom around it. I'm glad things have changed. I don't ever want to feel like that while I'm watching television, unless I'm actually getting into the moment as far as, like, an actual, like, loved character death. Then I'm immediately, oh, yeah, sick back into reality. Oh, yeah, this isn't a real person. These were real people.
I mean, it was a really jarring thing, and definitely unfortunate that something that unfortunate would, is the catalyst for change like that.
They instituted the wellness policy after Eddie Guerrero, but it was basically a joke until after Ben. That's when they started really taking it serious. I mean, I remember, WWE letting Ken Kennedy Anderson go on Greta Van Susteren's show and defend the company, and then a couple of weeks later, he ends up on this list of
of offenders,
legal internet steroid buyers. He goes on TV, telling everyone the company's clean now or tested. frequently in it.
Then he gets it.
Yeah, then he gets it, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was just a, it was a, it wasn't, it was definitely the most period where it was just most, most, it probably was the most, you know, wrestling will always have its level, a level of social
stigma.
Stigma, unacceptable ability stigma.
Yeah.
That was where it was at its all-time low. That you were, it wasn't just because it was that fake crap, it was that trashy crap, that sick world where these people go and die. And it was just, I don't want to relive. I certainly don't. I don't want to relive that period again.
Nor do I. Well, there was one short little story that I wanted to cover, and it was kind of funny since you swiped all of my material when we were talking about it earlier today. And it was Ring of Honor doing a Women of Honor show this week. Now, I still have not watched it. I was just making sure that it recorded properly.
Yeah, once again, Ring of Honor, the post-pay-per-view doldrums where they can't get a new show up to save their lives, so they just go to the clip show. And I can't say that I sat through the clip show. It was a Women of Honor clip show, which is maybe a nice little idea, but it just felt like something that just so disconnected from what ROH is, because they have women's matches. They've never had a bowl in its division. It has never been really been featured. The closest it came to being featured was during the era of, you know, the DVD era. And it was called the Jimmy Jacobs storyline, which was actually very, very brilliantly done. It's one of those things that, one of those kind of underground things that I really was into at the time. But one of the things that, while WWE before was kind of doomy and gloomy and TNA was TNA, I really got into ROH during that time period. And, you know, once again, it did stuff.
Well, and I think they had Sarah Del Rey at that point. Yes, I think that's before.
Sarah Del Rey, Daisy Hayes, Lacey, who's no longer even in the business, you know, all linked up with love story with Jimmy Jacobs.
And I feel like they had at least one match per show.
They definitely did for a while. But then they got away from it. They go back to it, go away from it, go back to it, got away from it, go back to it. And once again, the first match I tried to watch, it's, you know, Allison Kay, who's Sienna now in TNA. There's a bunch of girls who are not Ring of Honor regulars in there, who are, you know, just kind of, you know, random indie girls kind of thrown in there because they were local and cheap, I guess. Yeah, it's not, once again, it's not a full women's division. I don't know what keeps ROH from going for a full women's division. Granted, I know WWE and TNA have, of course, a lot of women under contract, but there's plenty of women out there, so I don't know why ROH doesn't try to hit that harder. So, you know, once again, the show they did, once again, I didn't really watch it, because I didn't feel like it was important. I didn't feel like it was going to lead to anything. So,
I guess it's one of those ones that it kind of cracked me up, because from the advertising, they made it seem like they had consistently pushed this product.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I thought was very disingenuous of them.
Yeah, it is very disingenuous. No, I mean, the Women of Honor, quote unquote, they do not. They sometimes put them on the. They do something with women on, like, their pre-shows. Like, when people are still trying to find their way to their seats.
In a 3,000 seat arena.
Really, since Sarah Del Rey left, they. Because I know that one thing they did try to. You know, they promote women. You know, whatever women. With women they had, they promoted around her, and then when she left, there really wasn't much left. And again, it's not something that is. That's it. It's just not something that's featured on ROH shows. I can't remember the last time they had a women's match on Ring of Honor television.
Oh, yeah. And I've been consistently watching. I guess the one thing that I wanted to bring up, though, I liked the concept of this show more than, like, it has almost been, and I probably could have looked it up, but didn't. But, I mean, it's been, like, 2 to 3 months that they haven't had anything new on TV. And this was at least something that if they did this, like, you talked about it, they always have that show after a pay-per-view that lags. And now they've gone in between two different pay-per-views without having any TV on, so it's at least been a month that they haven't had any new programming, though I feel like it's been more than that.
Yeah, well, no. They had about 4 weeks of regular TV going into this pay-per-view.
No, it was just all repeat stuff from Best in the World.
No, but Best in the World was last Sunday. Last Friday, I mean. They've been having regular shows.
I thought that they were clip shows.
No.
Because
they had
New Japan wrestlers on it.
Oh, no. Those were regular. Came 4 weeks of TV with the New Japan guys.
Oh, I thought that was stuff recorded at another show.
No. That was a regular TV taping.
Oh, okay.
You couldn't tell by all the big angles they were building to?
Well, yeah, that kind of was the problem. Like, I guess that's why I thought it was. I don't remember any real storylines.
Yeah, they had a. The only. Kind of saw it as a joke. It's like, the only long term storyline this company has right now is Steve Corino versus EJ Whitmer. That's the only real flowing story they have. I mean, they did a terrible job promoting Jay Lethal versus Jay Briscoe as the main event of Best in the World.
Oh, well, and until last week's show, I didn't even know about it, to be completely honest with you. Like, that was one where I'm like, oh, that's happening? Really?
Yeah, I mean, they did the big angle with the Bullet Club at the end of the Global Wars show, and then they transitioned to Jay Lethal versus Jay Briscoe, who for most of this year has been back in a tag team with his brother, so it was just a kind of a weird switch, and put the Bullet Club, you know, really on the undercard. So they really did nothing to take advantage of that angle, although, from what I gather, once they get going with their next crop of TV tapings that they've done, the Bullet Club, and in particular Adam Cole, does come to the forefront. Minor spoiler alert, I guess.
Oh, well, I mean, they've been high on Adam Cole, and I don't see any problem with that, mind you, for a long time. So, the fact that he's in the Bull... And, I mean, he was the one guy that seemed like he was getting some consistent attention.
Oh, yeah.
Prior to, well, this weird 4 weeks that they just did. Then,
yeah, it was more like a weird, like, 6 or 7 weeks, because just, you go from, well, the first round of clip shows, then to this 4 weeks of television that is just basically focused on just New Japan guys having matches with Ring of Honor guys with no storyline consequence, and you're promoting a main event essentially on the internet because you're really doing no angles on television to promote it. It was just a really weird deal. ROH really, they need to get their crap together as far as both their production, their editing of these shows, as well as the booking. It might be time to switch out bookers. I don't know who else is out there, but, you know, Hunter Dodson / Delirious is just, it's obviously not getting the job done. They can still put on entertaining wrestling shows.
Right.
You feel... In this day and age, you can see great matches on WWE television. You can see fewer and far between, you can see good, great matches on TNA shows. You can see it on Lucha Underground. You watch any New Japan at all. You can just having great, good wrestling was able to be their calling card in the DVD era when Vince McMahon put his foot down and said, "We're not signing anyone who isn't 6'2", 250 and jack."
Right.
But now that WWE is,
signing those guys,
signed all of our major stars from the mid to late 2000s. that can't just be enough anymore, and they haven't told the grossing stories.
Issues
they have with these pay-per-view shows where they can't get a show edited for weeks. Yeah, that just makes things worse.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of funny that it really uncovered more problems than what I was thinking of as a solution. Like, if they did a Women of Honor show after every pay-per-view is the week in between, they could get some stuff done. I think that would be a very consistent product to put out, but I doubt that it's going to happen.
Best of whatever, just a built TV time.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff just doesn't cut it anymore. Even when you're airing at between 11 p.m. and 3 a.m. in various markets, a good chunk of your audience is DVRing. There's so much wrestling out there right now, and you really have to be. If you're in one of these, there's just so much WWE product out there right now. So you really, really, to survive as a niche wrestling product, you need to be producing something really special and really different. And ROH is that.
Yep, and then that still goes back to one of my points that I keep going back to. The WWE, despite slipping ratings, still the largest wrestling audience.
and it always will be. I don't think there's any chance that any... that there's... for anyone to make a big run at them. I believe that now. You need tens of millions of dollars. You need to basically be owned by a television company, a television station. I just don't see it happening. But you can be... You can be a successful niche boutique promotion. And as long as you're super serving something that you don't get on WWE television.
Yeah, and ROH isn't doing that right now. Like, as much as I enjoy it, they're not doing that. It's not significantly different than the WWE.
No, not at all.
Okie dokie. Well, I think we have gone far enough with this one. So, why don't we say we wrap things up? At DeFrango11, that is at Chris Calamita. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Everybody, have a good night.
Later.